Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Do you know that you can go to Republic Broadcasting and click on the donate button and keep free speech alive? Because you can, and it's not cheap. So do that. And also, you can go to nationalbugle.com. And if you want a non-kosher certified lifestyle, you really want that app, Koshertified, you can get that from nationalbugle.com. You can download it, or you can go straight to the Koshertified website and use it for free, which is cheap. It's cheaper than free speech. And by the way, Senate confirmation, actually, the Senate confirmation of political appointees and flag officers in the military, that is kosher certification, by the way. Isn't it, Mark Dankoff?
Certainly is.
And also on nationalbugle.com, you can find great articles that our news hound, Mark Dankoff, has found for you.
That's right, and I continue to find them, and we have a number that we will get up on the big board today, including this latest from Pat Buchanan, entitled, "Was the Debate Beatdown Fatal for Mayor Mike?" That is just out there on lourockwell.com.
What do you think?
Just an example of some of the stuff we've got up there.
Yeah, what do you think? So, I only watched excerpts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched the excerpts, and a lot of the excerpts were, how badly Mike Bloomberg did. Do you think that matters?
Well, that's precisely what Pat Buchanan is talking about today on Lou Rockwell. Does it really matter? Is this really fatal for Bloomberg? I just completed an interview last night with Sputnik News of Russia in regard to the Bloomberg performance in that debate. And to me, I think he definitely took some hits in it. But the fact of the matter is that Buchanan says that his major mistake was basically twofold, as I'm gathering what Pat is talking about here. One is that Bloomberg is not on the ballot in Nevada or South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Pat basically feels that he must have gotten some bad advice in terms of subjecting himself to this debate process earlier than he needed to. Mm-hmm. So that's a very important angle on this from a great political pro, Pat Buchanan, who is the pro of pros in these matters. And then the other thing, of course, that Bloomberg, it's rather amazing to Buchanan, that in fact, Mike volunteered to enter a forum, says Pat, where he had to know his rivals would become a flash mob before he answered the first question. This was campaign malpractice of historic dimensions. Buchanan says it's going to take hundreds of millions in dollars in new ads to undo the damage done to Bloomberg's reputation among the millions of voters who got their first impression of the mayor from the debate. So that, I think,
how
is
how many people
fact,
really watch those debates? Do you know what the ratings are like?
I didn't check the ratings. Now, what I did was I went back after the fact and watched it, only because Sputnik News of Russia asked me for some commentary on what I thought of Bloomberg's performance, mm-hmm. which forced me to go back and take a look at the tape and to really analyze the whole thing. But in this situation, Buchanan is concluding pretty much what I concluded when I talked to Sputnik News, and that is that based upon Minnie Mike's performance in these debates, you might have an amazing situation where after the 3rd of March, in fact, Sanders could become unstoppable.
That's true. He could become unstoppable, Bloomberg, because in the long run, Klobuchar or Buttigieg, they're not going to be able to stop Sanders. And so the one person you had, because of his incredibly deep pockets, was Mike Bloomberg. Now, not very many people watch those debates, but then the news people talk about it. And the news people have come to a consensus that he did very badly and Warren did well. And that can give you a bit of a kick because, you know, more people are going to be watching the news than watch the debate. But the thing is, Bloomberg can reach all sorts of people who don't even watch the news. Now, do people who don't watch the news go out and vote? I think some of them do, but, you know, so what are the numbers there? It's hard to say. But Bloomberg can reach people who don't even watch the news because his ads are going to be on sports shows, they're going to be on drama shows, on sitcoms, they're just going to be everywhere.
Well, I think that that's basically correct. And with the amount of advertising money that he has to play around with, it is conceivable to me that he could recover from this, although his chances look a lot less after that debate performance. I basically told Sputnik News that I felt that Bloomberg was at least even money to win the nomination before that debate. I think his chances have lessened since then, which makes for a fascinating circumstance in the Democratic primaries, because obviously when you start looking at the story we've already been covering in regard to this shadow software basically pumping up Mayor Pete's numbers, Mayor Pete Buttigieg's numbers in the Iowa caucus, when you start looking at all of these intimations that there have been troubles in Nevada with software out there and counting votes, when you start looking at the fact that in Texas here, as we approach Super Tuesday, the Democratic Party has been very concerned, according to Texas Monthly, that they may have difficulty getting their tallies in a timely fashion that night. There's some dispute over that. But nonetheless, it's starting to look like a very, very interesting situation in the Democratic Party, where if Bloomberg did fatally shoot his foot off a couple of nights ago, and that remains to be seen, but if so, then you have a situation where you're looking at Bernie and you're looking at everyone else trying to stop him, which includes the Democratic National Committee, presumably, mm-hmm. and IPAC, which has made it very clear that they will do anything within their power to keep Sanders from winning the nomination. So this is really shaping up as a fascinating story.
So yes, and you say AIPAC doing anything they can to keep Bernie from winning the nomination. It's not as if Bernie's been particularly anti-Israel, but I guess he's a little bit more J Street than he is AIPAC. Is that a fair characterization?
I think that's a fair characterization, and it's certainly a situation where it would be rather difficult to tag him with being an anti-Semite, since he is Jewish, and since we have up on the big board here some of his history that Ronald Radosh came up with at the Hudson Institute on Bernie's so-called adventures on a Stalinist kibbutz. Mm-hmm. That's the title of the article, folks. I didn't make
and
that
so
up.
He was there, what, in like 1963?
Yes, and
it was early 60s, right?
This is an example, by the way. Yes. And early 1963, specifically, as I look at what we have up here in a summation of this article at nationalbugle.com, you look at that, and it basically gives us a fascinating portrait of who Bernie Sanders was. Now, the question is Bernie Sanders still today fairly characterized as a Stalinist? Is he today fairly characterized as just another Jewish Bolshevik? You know, even Haaretz had a story here in recent days entitled something to the effect of, "I still can't hate him, Bernie Sanders, the last of the Jewish Bolsheviks," where it ideologically was intimated in that article that, in fact, Sanders is a throwback to the early days of the most idealistic and most vociferous and most violent days of Jewish Bolshevism. So this is pretty tough stuff that's going on here. But as I told Sputnik News last night, it's not a question, as much a question of whether or not this stuff is true, or it is true in part, but it's a question of what sticks and whether or not the voters will buy this sticking of this Stalinist glue to Bernie. That remains to be seen, but suffice it to say that in the wake of Bloomberg's rather miserable performance a couple of nights ago in this debate, the Tom Perez of the Democratic National Committee certainly must be having some sleepless nights, as what looked like a pretty good bet to stop this Bernie Express, speaking of Bloomberg, suddenly looks like a less vibrant rose than it did about 72 hours ago. Mm-hmm. So this is really going to be something to watch in the Democratic Party. And I noticed when I voted in the Republican primary here in Texas in early voting, that it was quite clear that the real interest, and understandably so, is in the Democratic Party primary in terms of the number of voters that are showing up.
So you didn't re-register as Democrat and vote for Tulsi?
No, I didn't. You know, I had toyed with the idea of doing what the American Conservative was kind of suggesting, and that is that you could sneak into the Democratic primary and vote for Sanders just to really mess up things. But it may well be that Bloomberg has already messed things up without my having to sneak into the other party's primary and to do it and to do Bernie's work for him. So in this particular case, as we look at this whole state of affairs, I ended up voting for Joe Walsh for president in the Republican primary. I also voted.
Was he on the ballot?
For a guy named Virgil.
Was he on the ballot, or was that a write-in?
Yeah, no, he was on the ballot. There were six or seven or eight other people that were on the ballot in Texas. I voted for Joe Walsh, who is probably the best-known alternative to Trump in the Republican Party, even though virtually no one has actually heard of him.
And is then, it, is so he I voted a former for Joe congressman? Walsh.
What's that?
Is he a former congressman?
I don't know all of what Joe's background is. I'll have to go back and look at it more specifically on Twitter, but I just went ahead to cast a protest vote in terms of Trump's foreign policy decisions as of late, mm-hmm. and went ahead and voted for Joe Walsh. And then in the U.S. Senate race, among many reasons why I did not vote for John Cornyn, folks, is his long-standing connection to the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, MKO terrorist organization, the so-called Islamic terror, Marxist terror organization that used to kill Americans in Pahlavi, Iran, that in recent years has been working both for the CIA and for the Mossad. It's the current Iranian government. These folks have a very long and bloodstained history. Their headquarters is currently in Albania. And our old friend here in Texas, John Cornyn, is one of the big-time politicians that the MEK is closest to. Simply Google that if you don't believe it. But I went ahead and voted for Virgil Birsfala in the U.S. Senate contest in the Republican primary here in Texas for several reasons. Virgil Birsfala has a website that's kind of been interesting. The other thing is that if you look at his name in taking the German, put it into Google Translate, you will discover that his name literally means beer here. So I voted for beer here or Birsfala in the U.S. Senate primary here in the Republican side of the ledger in Texas. So Virgil Birsfala, who knows, maybe he'll be a presidential candidate in 4 years. But nonetheless, I went ahead and voted in the Republican primary, which, by the way, unless you think I'm making fun of the Republican primary, and in a sense I am here in Texas, there are 10 excellent initiatives, and I say that sincerely, excellent initiatives on the ballot for the Republicans here in Texas, and anyone who listens to this show, I think, will understand when you look at those that you should vote yes on every single one of those ballot initiatives that I would imagine needs a certain number of votes in order to have any chance of making it to the general election ballot come this November. So that, for me, along with several local races where I knew somebody who was running and voted, those other than those, the initiatives for me were the most important part of continuing to do my duty and to show up and to vote in my actual party's primary.
Okay, so I just want to touch on this whole Bernie Sanders Bolshevik thing for a bit, because I had a discussion with a friend of mine recently, and we had a difference of opinion on it. But
do you remember his name by any chance?
No, I don't remember his name.
It wasn't me, folks. This is an inside joke. Go ahead.
So Bernie Sanders is currently, he's 78 years old. He was born in 1941, September 1941. He's 78 years old, which means he's older than the Soviet Union was when it was dismembered at the end of 1991. And Bernie Sanders, has he always been the same? You mentioned a Stalinist kibbutz in 1963, and in 1980 he was the elector for the Socialist Workers Party, which is a
Marxist-Leninist party.
Well, it's Trotskyite, to be specific. And so from the outside you say, oh yeah, he's a big commie, but from the inside Stalin and Trotsky were the big rivals. So there's from the inside there's a complete lack of consistency there.
Well, it's kind of like Trump at Bloomberg, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, and then he's billed himself as more of a European-style socialist, talking about Denmark, right? And that's a different bag right there. And then, of course, if you look at Soviet history, Even the early history before Stalin really cemented his rule, you had war communism, which was really, really extreme, and they pretty much abolished money, and they were just requisitioning whatever the government wanted. Then you had the new economic policy, which had thriving markets for consumer goods, and then, you know, the forced collectivization of agriculture. These are the, you know, that's in the late 1920s. So a lot of twists and turns. So to say Bernie Sanders is a socialist, first of all, what Bernie Sanders are you talking about? He's a self-described socialist. He calls himself a socialist. But to say Bernie Sanders is a Bolshevik, that's what I mean. Which Bernie Sanders and which Bolshevism? And does it even matter? So that's kind of my point. So anyway, I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that out.
Well, let me read. I'm not trying to broadside you, but let me read, just because it's up there on our big board, at nationalbugle.com, an excerpt of Ronald Radosh's piece on Bernie from the Hudson Institute entitled Bernie's Adventures on a Stalinist Kibbutz. Now, folks, this is in the man's history. Dr. Slattery is focusing upon what may or may not be true of Bernie Sanders now. Those might be two different things, so I'm trying to be fair in all of this. But let's read Radosh's take on this, just in terms of what's up there in a summation on our nationalbugle.com board. But in 1963, when Sanders worked on Hashomer's Kibbutz, its members considered themselves Marxist-Zionists, and they held a pro-Soviet orientation, which included supporting Soviet foreign policy. Their ideological orientation on Zionism and socialism came not from the Social Democrats of the Socialist International, who were strongly anti-communist and anti-fascist during the years of World War II, like Germany's Willy Brandt, but rather from an unknown figure, a Zionist named Burr, B-E-R, Borochov, B-O-R-O-C-H-O-V. I have not yet researched Burr Borochov. I plan on doing so because Radosh describes him as a rather unknown figure. I'd like to see what we can come up with in regard to what is known about Burr Borochov that might shed some light, at least on Bernie's past, if not his present and future. And then, of course, folks, take this as a joke, but I put then as a comment, psst, Bernie's a red Jew. And you'll see up there, thumbs up, free, beer mugs, three, skull and crossbones, three, little figures up there. But to suffice it to say that at least in terms of the past, Bernie's adventures would seem to suggest that he was at least flirting with Stalinism. But again, 1963 is now 57 years ago. People do change. And I say this seriously about myself. You can go back in my own resume, which does not involve anything socialistic or communistic, by the way, but look at my own history in the Republican Party, which I freely discuss from time to time, including my interview with the American Free Press before their national conference in Austin 2013, which is still freely available there on the internet. And I was at one time a rather naive conservative in the Republican Party, in that I used to look to Human Events and National Review for what I was supposed to believe on any given subject. And I tended to like people like Bill Buckley and Jack Kemp. And that doesn't mean I have a raving hatred of these men today. I don't mean to say that. Mm-hmm. But I look at them in a far different light than I did when I was young, because I know a lot more about them. I know a lot more about the Zionist issue and the Zionist control of National Review and the Republican Party than was the case when I was a young person. So there's just one example of how I have totally – somebody says to me – somebody says, hey, you know, Dankoff once backed Jack Kemp for president. I'd say, well, sure, that's true. Let me explain why that's true and how that's true, and how much I have changed since then.
My first presidential vote in a primary or caucus was for Jerry Brown. So there you go.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, well, hey, we're up at the break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You know, True Confessions edition. So Mark once voted for Jack Kemp. I once voted for Jerry Brown. So there you go. But, you know, people do change. They evolve. And so with Bernie Sanders, because he is the front runner. And, you know, then you got Bloomberg. I want to try to be accurate, and I don't know exactly what to make of Bernie Sanders, but he has been somebody who's been on my radar screen for over 30 years.
I'm going to see him tomorrow night. I'm serious.
Good.
Not that I'm one of his supporters, folks. I think you all know me better than that. But he's going to be at the Cowboy Dance Hall here in Northeast San Antonio, right off of I-35. I think the doors open at 5. I would imagine Bernie will come out at 7 or 8 o'clock, but the doors open at 5. Cowboy Dance Hall, major appearance for Bernie Sanders. This is for real. We're not making this up. And that is going to be a major San Antonio, Bexar County appearance for Bernie. So if you're going as I am, out of curiosity, and to maybe interview some of his supporters for some of our alt-right stations and for Sputnik and Press Television Iran, I certainly will be more than civil and more than quiet during the actual proceedings. And if you're going there as a person of the right...
So you're not going to take off your shirt and pour milk?
Civil.
You're not
going
to harass anyone. You're not going to storm the stage, take off your shirt. You're not going to storm the stage, take off your shirt, and pour milk on your head, right?
Yes, if I took off my shirt, I would be arrested for obscenity under anyone's rules. But
you know what I'm referring to, though, right?
I am a human being, and I'm civil. And I'm there simply to observe and to conduct, if possible, some cordial interviews with some of the young people who will be there at that rally tomorrow night. So that's Bernie Sanders. Seriously, folks, here Saturday night, Cowboy Dance Hall, Northeast San Antonio off of I-35. And whether you're one of his people, it happens to be horning in on our show, listening to what we're saying, which is certainly fine, or whether you're one of us who's going out of curiosity and who will simply observe, as I'm going to be, for some media outlets tomorrow night, certainly be cordial, be civil. Don't be like these idiots with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and all the rest of these people. And don't be one of those. Be a right-wing equivalent of that, folks. If you're one of our people, be civil. It's their event. No disruption. We are human beings. Most of us, at least I am a Christian, and we're there simply to observe the phenomenon tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I was just referencing a couple of nights ago, Bernie was making a speech somewhere, and anti-dairy activists stormed the stage, and amongst them was a woman who took off her shirt and poured milk on her head. So.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I will be defending Bernie if anybody does something like that tomorrow night. But in this particular case, it does present, and this is, I had agreed to go to this thing a couple of days ago, signed up with the Sanders people. The thing that's fascinating is the Democratic Party establishment finds itself in a very, very untenable position. And I said this to Sputnik. On the one hand, it's quite obvious that the Democratic Party establishment, through the DNC and through Hillary the Witch Clinton, defrauded Sanders of a much better opportunity to win the nomination in 2016. And had Bernie won the nomination in 2016, there's really no telling what would have happened in the general election. You can talk about Russia all you want to, but it's quite obvious to me that the reason the Democrats lost is they basically nominated the one person that even I would have beaten. So in this particular case, it was a self-inflicted wound on the part of the Democratic Party. Now, we fast forward 4 years, and it's quite obvious between what happened in Iowa with Seth Klarman's Israeli-oriented shadow software that began promoting Pete, I am a Zionist Buttigieg in Iowa and potentially elsewhere, that the Sanders people were quite rightly rather furious that once again it appeared that the establishment and appears present tense that the establishment of the Democratic Party is going to do whatever it can to rip Sanders off again. But as I said to Sputnik, that comes with risks because it's all quite public that that's what they're trying to do. And when you build on what happened 4 years ago, if Sanders wins the nomination, the Republicans are going to be screaming Bolshevik communist through the campaign season. The Democratic National Committee and their Wall Street and Zionist pals want a candidate who looks better. They thought they had that in Bloomberg, who then tripped over himself a couple of nights ago. So in this particular case, if Sanders is the nominee, they are then stuck with a nominee they don't like, meaning the Democratic Party national establishment. Or if they do whatever they have to do to destroy him, a significant number of their people will be, Sanders people will be so angry, they will stay home or they
stay
might
home or vote for, vote third party or even vote for Trump So when you're there tomorrow, you could ask people, especially the younger people, do you care if Sanders is a Bolshevik commie? And I would, I would think a lot of them wouldn't care. Because
they probably wouldn't even know what you were talking.
They
about.
Probably wouldn't. They probably wouldn't. And the whole term communism doesn't have the same type of tone to it, effect as it does to people who lived through the Cold War. And if you're talking to somebody who was born in the 1980s, anybody under 40 who would have been like maybe in third grade when the Soviet Union broke up, what do they know about it? What do they think about it? So.
Well, it also goes in terms of the social issues. We have completely changed as a society, right? The class
we have, and let's get to that right after the break.
Yeah, sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we're just starting to talk about what does this all mean for the social issues. One quick point I want to make is the Bolsheviks. Even though the Bolsheviks and Stalinist successors, if you want to call them successors, used a lot of demographic engineering, they never imported foreign populations to replace the native population. And the Russian people were able to survive and come back after the end of the Soviet Union. And I would argue they probably weren't even doing all that badly in the last few decades of the Soviet Union. But the Russian people came back, and it's the same Russian people they had before. That's not what we're facing right now, because we're facing replacement. But anyway, the social issues, speak to them.
Well, this is the one area, and I really didn't get into this with Sputnik too much because it wasn't appropriate to, because of the nature of the questions that they asked me. But this is the one area of the debate between Republican and Democrat where there is a clear-cut difference. Let's say, for example, and I think Bloomberg's chances of being the nominee have greatly lessened. I won't say that his wounds are fatal. I don't know that Buchanan would say that they're fatal.
I'm just going to interrupt for a second. You remember in 1992 when Bill Clinton did really, really poorly at the beginning, and then he was the comeback kid?
Sure. And so, exactly.
I think
so
this we're going to have a spring of Bernie versus Bloomberg. I still think that.
Yes, and that may well be the way that it plays out, because the Democratic establishment doesn't seem to have much of an alternative because of the way that Warren, despite the fact that the media said she did much better a couple of nights ago, Warren is looking shop-worn, Biden is looking shop-worn, Buttigieg is Buttigieg. I'm not sure, even at this stage of things, folks, that Rush Limbaugh is necessarily wrong in suggesting that it might not yet be the time for an open homosexual to be elected to the American presidency. It might take another 4 years of cultural decline for that to happen. But nonetheless, if it goes down to Bloomberg and Bernie, the fascinating thing is, or Buttigieg, whomever is nominated by the Democrats, it's on the issue of the social issues where there is something to point to that is an actual difference, especially on the issue of private ownership of weaponry in the Second Amendment. Our National Rifle Association, Texas State Rifle Association people here in Texas, have been working overtime on this because Bloomberg is most strongly identified in the public mind with gun grabbing, which is how we characterize it, those of us on the right, of course. So there you have a situation, whether it's Bloomberg or it's Bernie or presumably Buttigieg, gun grabbing is a major part of the Democratic ideology going into the 2020 election. It's a totally different case from a Democratic Party of 50 years ago. We're south of the Mason-Dixon line. You couldn't find a Southern Democrat who would have openly advocated what these people are advocating now when it comes to weaponry. So that is one important aspect of this in regard to the social issues. The other two are clearly gay marriage and how far this gay agenda thing should go in teaching kids about it in public schools in the lower grades. And then the abortion issue is yet a third in regard to this whole question of when human life begins and to what extent the state needs to regulate this practice and to what extent the federal government should or should not be putting money into Planned Parenthood. So it's on the whole question of social issues where there is, in fact, a major difference between the Republican and Democratic parties this time out in 2020, as there has been for some period of time. Now, when we start talking about foreign policy, sadly enough, it certainly is a situation where we can anticipate, especially if Bloomberg or Buttigieg proves to be the nominee, that we will have an avidly pro-Zionist, pro-Israeli foreign policy. Sanders, perhaps so as well, although it's clear that the Democrat establishment is far less sure of what Sanders might do in that regard.
Sanders seems to be, ironically, less Zionist than the Democratic establishment or than past several presidents.
Exactly. So that remains to be seen. But by and large, it will be in the social issues where there is going to be a very clear-cut difference between what's being offered by the two parties. That's nothing new. And that particularly comes up here in Texas. We're in voting in the Republican primary here in Texas on the early voting. There were 10 solid proposed ballot initiatives that one should, if you're a traditionalist and a conservative as I am, and if you're voting in a Republican primary in Texas, you probably are, vote yes on all of those. But then if you're doing that here in Texas, you can easily and legitimately get a sample ballot of the Democratic Party's proposed ballot initiatives and compare the two. And I think that that's where you will see the biggest actual divide in public policy between the major parties.
Mm-hmm. So Bernie Sanders has, the Bernie bros, he's got this base of support. And I've always felt that I understand why the Bernie bros like what they see in Bernie Sanders. My contention is that some of what they see in Bernie Sanders is actually a mirage. It's, I think they look at him as being a peace candidate. And, of course, he did oppose the two Gulf Wars. He did not oppose the Afghan War. I did. I wrote an editorial about it on 9/13. I think I published an editorial about it saying we shouldn't go to war with Afghanistan. But every member of Congress, including Ron Paul, except for Barbara Lee, voted for the war in Afghanistan. So, and Bernie Sanders was one of them. Bernie Sanders tends to be, he's been pretty hostile towards Russia. And That's a big deal. That's not just a little thing. Because he called, he was on O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly's show, when O'Reilly still had a show, I think in 2015, calling for, maybe 2016, calling for sanctions against Russia, calling to freeze Russian assets everywhere. And Bill O'Reilly was taken aback. And that's pretty hostile. And I don't think the Bernie bros perceive that. I think they look at him and think of him as a peace candidate. And so I think I understand why they like Bernie Sanders, but I think to an extent, what they see in him is a mirage, and it's not true. You know, healthcare for everyone is fine, but the way they've laid it out, the HR 678, I've read the bill, and in terms of the user, in terms of the insured person, the patient, it's fine for the patient, but how is it paid for? And it's paid for in a way that is really, I think, consciously designed to be wealth transfer. And an insurance system, insurance is supposed to be risk management. Not wealth transfer is something else. That is a different animal. Now, in the last thing I'll say about this is in our society, because healthcare is so expensive, and we have so many non-productive not very productive people that aren't able to, you know, over the course of their career or their livelihood, contribute enough to even cover their own health care. There's always going to be an element of wealth transfer or resource transfer from productive to non-productive people, but that shouldn't be the point of the system. And when you look at HR 678, it just as when you look at the Green New Deal, there is this massive and undeniable ulterior motive of conscious wealth transfer, and a lot of the wealth transfer is from white taxpayers to non-white beneficiaries. So that's kind of my critique of Bernie Sanders. I will say, if he picks Tulsi Gabbard as a running mate based on his age and life expectancy, I would vote for a Sanders Tulsi ticket. Otherwise, I would either probably vote for Trump or third party.
Yeah, you've introduced a very, very fascinating possibility. If I was in Sanders' position, Tulsi Gabbard would be a natural jewel to go for, both in terms of diffusing the age and health issue, as well as continuing to drive the Democratic national establishment crazy, having a number two on the ticket who is a veteran and who is solidly anti-war for the right reasons, and who is very presentable, very articulate. People that watched her in the early debates understand how articulate she is, and clearly she has been deliberately cut off by the same corporate establishment and the Democratic Party establishment for real obvious reasons. So that would be a genius pick on the part of Sanders. And by the way, I just heard from the Sanders people. The event is certainly on for tomorrow. So those of you interested in that sort of thing,
come out and meet Mark Dankoff.
Yeah, meet Mark Dankoff, right? I don't think that's why you would be going, but I'd be glad to meet you. Bernie Sanders for Texas tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Time at 3030, no relationship to the rifle, 3030 Northeast Interstate 410 Loop in San Antonio, and that is the Cowboy Dance Hall.
Folks. How big is that venue?
I've never been inside the thing, but you drive by it. It's right near where I live. You drive by it, and it's huge in terms of the crowds that you see just parked in the parking lot. So I'm sure it will accommodate an awful lot of people. I would anticipate a big and noisy crowd there. So if you want to see Bernie Sanders and experience the phenomenon of one of his crowds, and you're in South Texas, this is the place to do it. 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Central Time, of course, 3030 Northeast Interstate 410. And if that doesn't mean much to you, simply Google Cowboy Dance Hall San Antonio, and that will get you there.
So, okay, so I know we haven't gotten to much else on the big board, but I like this discussion. Regarding the Democratic primaries, right now, because Tulsi's being excluded, what you've got like six candidates who are up on the stage last time. And two, I guess, are thought of as being the left borderline socialist lane. They talk about these lanes. So you got Sanders and Warren. And then the other four, Bloomberg, Biden, Klobuchar, and Buttigieg, being in the establishment lane. And I have to say that I prefer Sanders to Warren, and I prefer Bloomberg to those other three characters. So if this is going to come down to a Jew versus Jew, right?
You think the old spy,
yeah,
spy like, versus spy on Mad Magazine.
I know exactly. That's what I'm
of that Jew versus Jew.
Yeah, Jew versus Jew. That would be that. If it's going to come down to Jew versus Jew, I'm all for it. I think that both of those people would be less dangerous as presidents than their rivals, and partly because as Jews, they would have to tread a lot more lightly on some issues. Certainly, they'd have to tread more lightly. I think they'd have to tread more lightly on Middle East wars, but maybe even on immigration, because they won't have a Shabbat Goy front man to take the blame. It will be, you know, what are you doing with Chucky Schumer and all these other Jews? It will just seem so Jewy. They won't be able to hide the fact that this is a Jewish agenda. What do you think?
Well, it's a fascinating take on the thing. It's obvious to anyone who studies the issue that this is what's already happened. But of course, for the average American, something that isn't so obvious, because they tend not to read and study and analyze very much, if at all, it would certainly make it more obvious if a dynamic like that were to emerge. So that is an interesting take on it, and which is kind of like the old thing you used to get, where sometimes a Democratic president was less dangerous than a Republican in regard to conservative interests, because a Republican president, if he was an establishment Republican type, could get away with more stuff than a Democrat could, in the same way that the Democratic Party, a Democratic president can do certain things, especially in foreign policy, that are as criminal as his counterparts and get away with it if he's a Democrat. If it's Trump or Bush doing it, of course, then it's bad. So there are all kinds of different versions that you can go with on this. But suffice it to say that people always have this tendency to look toward the other party's bad guy for the bad decisions and the bad policies, whereas they tend to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to a member of their own party doing the very same things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. One last thing. I know this Democratic strategist or fundraiser or whatever, and he says that, like, he's really aghast at the prospect of Bernie Sanders being the nominee, because he thinks not only will they lose the White House, but they're going to lose the House of Representatives and lose seats in the Senate. And I guess that's the why the establishment is afraid of Bernie Sanders, not because of his policies, really, but because of the prospect of losing big in November. And yes. I don't know if that's even the case. Well, is there anything else on the big board that you want to get to?
I should mention a couple of things very, very quick on the big board. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't have the old RBN pie graph.
About 5 minutes altogether.
How much time?
About 5 minutes altogether.
Okay, well, let's look at nationalbugle.com. We have a new post under War and Foreign Policy. It's a thread from Twitter. It's not often that we're going to put something like that on National Bugle, but Mayar, M-A-H-Y-A-R, Mayar from Twitter, has a Zionist thread. It's very informative. You can get to that and see a lot of information that people post on this thing, much of which is very credible, very good, a lot of graphics, maps, pictures, analysis. So take a look at that at your leisure. And then when we start looking at other items on the big board, the Syrian army continues to make advances, of course, in regard to what they're doing in Idlib province. That's all to the good as far as we're concerned here at National Bugle Radio. Kelly Vallejos of the American Conservative has a very, very fine post entitled, Point Professor Penn's blistering takedown of U.S. military academies. The cost, or the title of that book, folks, which I think we should all get a copy of, is The Cost of Loyalty, Dishonesty, Hubris, and Failure in the U.S. Military. Tim Bakken, B-A-K-K-E-N, is the author. There's a very fine review by Kelly Bocar Vlejos of that book at the American Conservative. We have it up there on the big board. The New York Times visits the anti-Iran terrorist group's lair, observes cult-like modus operandi. This comes to us from Press Television. The New York Times has been given access to a secretive facility housing the anti-Iran Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization, MKO terrorists, in the Albanian capital of Tirana. Take a look at that one, folks. I know a lot about those people. None of it good. Mm-hmm. And consider the fact, as we've mentioned, that here in Texas, John Cornyn is linked up with this. We've got Sanders here in San Antonio tomorrow.
And let's go to the break.
One other thing I'll mention, the Ron Paul Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go to the break now. We'll be right back with that.
All right.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ron Paul Institute.
Yes, tickets are now available for the Ron Paul Institute's Houston Conference. That one is entitled Shut Up, Cancel Culture and the War on Speech. That's May 24th in Houston. If you go to our big board at nationalbugle.com, click on that link, it'll tell you how you can get tickets for that very fine event. We've mentioned the Buchanan story already. Was the debate beatdown fatal for Mayor Mike? That comes to Pat Buchanan at Lou Rockwell. We've mentioned the Ronald Radosh story on Bernie's adventures on a Stalinist kibbutz. And then the last one I'll mention before we maybe get into some concluding conversation, Brian S. Brown of International Family News is publicized in Russia Insider. That's a piece entitled World Congress of Families Launches Major Pro-Family, Pro-Life News Network in Five Languages. This is kind of a derivative or an ongoing building of what was done at the World Congress of Family event over in Italy last year or two. Take a look at that piece as well. So those are just a few of the items up on the big board. We're going to have some new stuff from Philip Giraldi up before the end of the day in regard to what's going on in Syria.
Okay, so our big board is a amalgamation of headlines and brief comments that you and to a lesser extent myself find, and I think it's very useful. Now, Russia Insider is starting to emerge as a place. I guess they have their own writer or writers, but they also post entire articles from a variety of people. And so can you tell us a little bit about Russia Insider and what to expect from them moving forward?
Russia Insider is a terrific online publication. That's at russia-insider.com, in the English language anyway. And they have a very, very fine editor, Charles Bousman, whom I met with about 3 weeks ago. And it is my intention to get Mr. Bousman on this show, to get him on Rents Radio, and also to get him on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show on coming out of the UK on Monday mornings. Charles Bousman has a great deal to share with us, not simply about Russia, but different projects that he has going on stateside in regard to issues that are of great concern to those of us on the freedom-oriented right. It's a great combination of political and theological and cultural stuff coming from all kinds of resources. I look at it every day because one time you might be reading an article from a Russian archbishop. The next thing you know, you're reading Philip Giraldi or Pat Buchanan, or you're reading Eric Stryker or someone else that we identify with.
How old and what nationality is Charles Bousman?
He's an American. He has a very long lineage in this country. I think Charles is about 55 years old, and he traces his lineage in this country all the way back legitimately to the American Revolutionary War. And if you get into Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you will notice in the city of Lancaster that the name Bousman is all over the place in terms of street signs and different historical markers in the county and so forth and so on.
Why does he call it Russia?
Fine Orthodox Christian.
And we only have like 30 seconds left, but what's the connection with Russia? Why does he call it Russia Insider?
Well, because he deals with a lot of things related to Russia. He lived over there. His father, years ago, was the Associated Press's Moscow correspondent when Charles was growing up.
Okay, well, that's
how he knows so much Russian language and so much Russian culture.
Well, that's really interesting. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show again. We always look forward to your appearances, and it wouldn't be National Bugle without you.
Well, thank you, and look for me on both Sputnik and Press TV in coming days.
All right, we will look forward to that. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.